this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Kenyard Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's an honor to be with you here today. Was it yesterday? Doug McBurney and I were talking about the size of government, and there are conservative talking heads who will say, well, if you want to know about the political spectrum, it goes from large government to small government, and that's from left wing to right wing. And for some reason, they buy into the left wing gobbledygook about extremes meet. If you get extreme right wing and extreme left wing, they meet in the middle, which is absurd. But what I want to do on today's show is to talk about the political spectrum. That should be fun to do, and talk about what the true political spectrum is from right to left. So we'll talk about that. And then also to let you know, we got basically it was a form letter, but there was a handwritten note on it. And this is from the executive director of a missions, you know, an international Christian missions to send out missionaries around the world to preach the gospel. And this is from GMI, Grace Ministries International at Grand Rapids, Michigan, to Bob Kenyard Live. And it's a form letter. Of course, they'd like support, right? We all understand that. From Pressing Towards the Goal, Jeremy Clark, executive director. Well, there's a handwritten note on here. Dear Bob, thank you for blessing us with your gift. My son Jason, who's 8 years old, Jason and I love Real Science Radio. Thank you for your ministry. So that's so encouraging, right? Kids, we have found that families tell us that kids love Real Science Radio. Now, they're not going to get the whole thing, but they'll get a lot of it. Fred Williams and I did our Real Science Radio caveman show a while ago, and the kids crack up when they see the photo of Fred and I dressed up like cavemen. And there's even a video of the two of us dressed up like cavemen. And it's absurd, but it's fun. And so I thought I'd tell you, before we get to our political spectrum, about some of the Real Science Radio shows coming up on Friday, 2 days from now. It will be Real Science Radio Goes to Math Class. That should be fun. Real Science Radio Goes to Math Class. And why is it? Scientists are dismayed over this. Albert Einstein said it was bewildering how it is that you can take the universe and boil it down to these beautiful equations. The mathematical equations to the scientists and the mathematicians, they describe them as beautiful. The symmetry and the perfection. And they can't comprehend it. Why would it be perfect? And so we're going to talk that through, and that's powerful evidence. I mean, why would it be E equals MC squared? Why would it be that? Why wouldn't it be E times 0.17955536792 equals M minus square root of 3 times 7.9 times the speed of light plus 72.9? Why isn't it that? Why is it so beautifully the relationship between matter and energy, E equals MC squared? I mean, how could that be, right? You just have an explosion, a big bang. Why would you have this perfection, this symmetry, this beauty of design apparent in so many instances of our investigation of the physical universe? Why? And Albert Einstein went to his grave. We quote him in his bewilderment over this kind of thing over a period of decades. Every so often he would write just a little bit saying, how could this be? And he could never discover the answer, but the answer is so evident. The reason he couldn't discover the answer is because he rejected, not based on the laws of science. He had a bias, a prejudice against a creator God. And so because he opposed the very existence of a creator God, a personal God who made us, then he could never come to the answer to his question, because God conceived of the universe in his mind. He planned out the universe. And so he designed it. Intelligent design, you know, designing DNA. And he designed the relationship of, well, chemistry and physics and how the water cycle, it's all so perfect. And the moon just at the right location as compared to the size of the sun and the distance of the sun and the tides, the life-giving tides on the oceans. It's just all so perfect. And so God is the designer, and he conceived in his mind the design elements and the design goals. And he thought that a good relationship between energy and matter would be that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. God conceived of that, and then he created a universe to implement that. And that's why so many discoveries turn out to be beautiful and sublime. So unless you know about the Creator God, you just can't understand what you're looking at. You're bewildered. So that will be this Friday, Real Science Radio Goes to Math Class. The next week, oh, is that going to be fun? We are going to interview a physicist from Australia, and that's a trick in and of itself. They're 13 hours off from us, so we had to work that out. I woke the guy up in the middle of the night, but we're going to interview him about the latest discovery of astrophysicists, again, assaulting the predictions of the Big Bang, undermining the Big Bang. And what they have found out is after analyzing 1,000 galaxies, the Big Bang predicts that per surface area of each galaxy, the ones that are furthest away should be much dimmer as compared to the galaxies nearby per surface, you know, unit of surface area of the galaxy. And if they're accurate in their measurements, which could be questioned, but the entire realm of astrophysics would look at their methodology and say they were accurate. If they're accurate, they say the Big Bang blew it. There is no evidence of the Big Bang cosmology in our results. They completely contradict the Big Bang. So that's yet another example of overwhelming evidence that defies the predictions of the Big Bang. So we'll do that in a week from Friday, Lord willing. And then so many fun. In fact, there's you know how we say, and atheists say we're lying? And we say that there are so many scientists who are beginning to realize that Darwinism has failed. And they say, you're a creationist. That means you're a liar. There are no real scientists who doubt Darwinism, although today they call it neo-Darwinism, because it's Darwin mixed in with DNA and genes that code for proteins. And so there's a brand new website, thethirdwayofevolution.com. And so these scientists from around the world, from leading institutions, these are all advanced degreed, well-known scientists, accomplished microbiologists and all. And they have said, look, we're not creationists, but neo-Darwinism doesn't work. Natural selection cannot explain the diversity of life on Earth. There's got to be another way. And so these scientists, it's not that they've all figured out the other way. They all have different ideas for the most part on what might be the answer. If there's no creator, how is it that monarch butterflies could get from Maine to Mexico? What do they weigh? An ounce and a half? It's just astounding, God's brilliance and design. So the atheists listening to this right now, they'd say, oh, yeah, right. Scientists who reject neo-Darwinism, what are they all, fundamentalist Christians? No, actually, none of these are creationists. Like James Shapiro, he's a PhD at the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology at the University of Chicago. You think he's a fundamentalist creationist, young earther? Obviously not. Then there's Dennis Noble with the Department of Physiology, Anatomy, and Genetics at the University of Oxford. And their names and photos are all on this website, this Third Way website. They're saying, look, we're not creationists, but Darwinism doesn't work. So just tough it out, man up, and admit that Darwinism doesn't work. It's a failure as an explanation of the diversity of life on Earth. And it certainly doesn't explain how life got here. I mean, everybody agrees with that. So Darwinism turned out to be a dead end. It's a dead end. Eventually, they're going to figure out, as hundreds of scientists, astronomers have, that the Big Bang is a dead end. And they're going to figure out that plate tectonics was a dead end and seafloor spreading. But here's a guy that from MIT and a University of Vienna, Department of Theoretical Biology, Gerd Müller, and Evelyn Fox Keller, professor of the history of science from MIT. And it just goes on and on, a long list of these scientists. Here's Eugene Koonin, Evolutionary Genomics Research Group from the National Center for Biotechnology Information. That's at Moscow State University. Is that right? Is that where Dr. Koonin is from? And the list goes on and on. Evyatar Nivo, professor from University of Haifa, Israel. He's an evolutionary biologist. And National Institute of Health in Rome, Italy, Corridor Spadafora. They're the ones who first discovered, well, a, you know, fascinating discovery about exogenous DNA molecules, blah, blah, blah. And deliver them to oocytes at fertilization. These are all accomplished scientists. Here, František Beluska from the Institute of Cellular and Molecular Biology, University of Bonn, Germany. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. New York Medical College, New York Department of Cell Biology and Anatomy, Dr. Stuart Newman. Dr. John Tourday, Department of Pediatrics and OBGYN Evolutionary Medicine Program. University of California, Los Angeles. So UCLA, the doctor, medical doctor of evolutionary medicine. What in the world is that? That's where they said, oh, your appendix is left over from evolution. Let's yank that thing out of there. Oh, your tonsils, they're left over from evolution. Let's yank those things. You know, they had 100 vestigial organs in our body they thought were left over from evolution, and they were wrong on all of them. They all have function. They're all fully functional. Dr. Robert Austin, Princeton University, a research group in biophysics. And could I stop? Do I have to keep going to make the point that what we've been saying on Real Science Radio, what we've been saying on Bob and Yurt Live for 23 years is true, that neo-Darwinism is dead? That it's dead. It's dead. Rest in peace. Charles Darwin cannot rest in peace because he's not a theory. He was an atheist who is now in hell because he didn't want to live with God. He didn't want to live with his wife. His wife, I mean, prayed for him with tears flowing for decades, pled with him. And what, he had a letter from her at his side when he died. And it's the letter that she pled with him to come to the Lord. And there's zero evidence that he became a Christian. In fact, the evidence is the opposite, that he died in utter rebellion against God. So his theory could rest in peace, but he can't, because he never asked God to forgive him. He never told the Lord that he'd like to live with him. So anyway, the third way, Darwinism is dead. There are very slow and dense scientists who are evolutionists, like Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, who we had on Real Science Radio, and countless others, like people we've sparred with, like P.Z. Myers and Jerry Coyne from the University of Chicago. They're committed lobbyists, they're marketing reps for Darwinism. So if you could believe a salesman, you could believe them. If you could believe your typical salesman. How about Stig William Umholt, a research professor a Norwegian University of Science and Technology and Norwegian University of Life Sciences. So all these guys, plus many others I didn't list, who said Darwinism is dead. Darwinism does not explain how flight can evolve. Can't do it. Darwinism does not explain how you get a vital organ. I mean, just think of it. By definition, you need the vital organ, right? So how do you evolve step by step in little steps a vital organ? How does that happen? Like, we wouldn't do very well without a circulatory system. So how do you evolve that? And you have a circulatory system, but no heart, no pump. So how does that work? But you get a pump, you start evolving a pump, a heart chamber, but you have no arteries and vessels to bring everything around. How's that going to work for you? I mean, the whole thing is utterly inane, to the nth degree inane. These Darwinists are dull-witted. They're dull. They simply cannot comprehend the complexity of the systems that they're trying to explain by one unguided accident after another, somehow being selected, natural selection. And natural selection cannot create anything. It only eliminates things that don't work as well as other things. So it's not a creative force. It's a conservative force. Speaking of conservatives. So anyway, that's some of what's coming up on Real Science Radio. And thank you, Jeremy Clark, Executive Director at Grace Ministries International. So many Christians want to support good missions programs. And if you're one of them, and it's hard to know. You know, I send my money here. Like, who's that guy on TV who has a Bible teaching show on end time prophecy? What's his name? He's been saying we're at the last days on the air for 53 years so far. What's his name? Jack Van Impe. Is that the guy's name? Jack Van Impe? That's it. Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe, that's his name. He's been on Jack Van Impe Ministries International on TV for how many decades now? And each headline in the news is evidence that the second coming of the Lord is right around the corner. But the thing is, could it be right around the corner if, like the people who started supporting him when he began, do you think they would have all believed that they would eventually die of old age before the rapture or before the Lord returns? They wouldn't have thought that, right? They tune into Jack Van Impe and they think, and I love Jack Van Impe. Just because he was wrong on his primary, you know, ministry claim for all these years, what are we wrong about? I wish I knew. Most of the people who believed him are all dead. His average audience, age of his average audience is dead. That's his average viewer. So there have been ministries on the air that have been saying, look at this headline. Look at that headline. This is it. This is it. We are at the cusp of the end times. And they've been saying this since I was born. Imagine the millions and millions and millions of dollars that has been sent to these ministries, and for the most part, their interpretation of prophecy, the Lord will return, and there will be an end times. I mean, that's promised in the scriptures. God promises us this. But imagine being wrong so many times, hundreds of times, and all the money that's gone to ministries that really, you know, they love the Lord, but they're just guessing on all this stuff, and they say, look at this headline. This proves that we're at the end times, and they've been saying this for, 50 years. And so what's important when we support ministries is that we support ministries that are solidly biblically based, and so that's why we have supported Grace Ministries International. And I'll give you their website, gracem.org. So easy, right? gracem.org. So that so if you would like to find out more about a really neat missions organization, I strongly recommend Jeremy Clark, Executive Director of GMI, Grace Ministries International at Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's gracem.org. If God gave me the opportunity to send one email to him and he would reply to one question, what would your question be? My question, I think, I mean, if I had that opportunity, I have to rethink it, but I think my question would be, Lord, of everything we teach, what does the most harm? What is wrong and does the most damage of everything that we think is true that we teach? That's what I would ask. I wouldn't ask, who else is wrong? I don't want to know who else is wrong. I want to know, where am I wrong? It's not what you don't know that gets you into so much trouble. It's what you know that isn't so, the things you believe that are not true. So Jack Van Impe, the people who started supporting his decades-long teaching prophecy ministry decades ago. Is he the guy with Roxella? Is that her name? Was she on Bewitched? Anyway, the people who were supporting his ministry decades ago, thinking that he was interpreting the headlines correctly and that the Lord's coming was right around the corner, do you think they all thought that they would all die of old age before the second coming? Do you think they all thought that? They didn't all think that, right? Because of strength, he's still kicking, as far as I know, Jack Van Impe. And I hope he's around much longer, too. And you know what? He's brought a lot of people to the Lord. But you want a ministry that's solidly biblically based, so gracem.org. All right, so the conservatives say the political spectrum is, if you have a large government, that's left wing, and you have a small government, that's right wing, and they think that that's it. The Heritage Foundation, this past week, they had an article about Captain Phillips from Masterpiece Cake Shop, and they, saying, look how terrible this is. And they said something like, click here if you think there's a problem with big government. And that's not the problem, the size of the government. That's just a symptom. That's an artifact of your principles, of your worldview. And so it's true that, generally speaking, a good government would be smaller than a liberal, a bad government, a socialist government. But you could have a government that's so small that it's also evil because it doesn't have the ability to go after murderers or kidnappers or child molesters or child pornographers. You could have anarchy if the government is too small. So the spectrum is not size of government. That's just an ancillary issue. That's just a symptom of your other beliefs. So the liberals, you know how dumb they are, left wingers, they think it's a circle. And so actually, and I know that it's primarily liberals who say this, but I've heard conservatives say it for many years, that the right and left, the extremes will meet in the middle because extremes always meet. And that's insane. Like, extremes don't meet. Extreme hot doesn't become extreme cold, right? Extreme old doesn't become extreme young, and extreme good doesn't become extreme evil. You know, if only it's good enough, then it's evil. And only if Satan becomes evil enough, then he'll be good. Right? It's all stupid. Extremes don't meet. But anyway, liberals say extremes meet, and they say that you have communism is left wing and Nazis were right wing. And they were so similar because extremes meet. And that's just ridiculous. And by the way, when liberals talk about the political spectrum, they make the same mistake as conservatives. They can't distinguish between economic systems and political systems. So they'll talk in the same breath. They'll talk about a democracy, a monarchy, a republic, communism, socialism, Nazism, and dictators. And they're mixing political and economic systems, and that doesn't help at all. That just serves to further confuse them themselves. So the true political spectrum is based on authority flow. And I said this week, it's based on absolutes. And that was sort of a shorthand version of authority flow, because When authority flows downhill from God, then there are absolutes, like do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. And so all the way on the left, you have authority flowing uphill. Whether you have an individual or a group who usurps authority, or you have anarchy where everybody's in charge, or you have democracy where the people rule, these are all left wing. Or whether you have a Republican form of government where the people, the majority, vote for leaders who make the laws, these are all where authority is flowing uphill. Then you have like authority flowing sideways, like a democracy, like oligarchy. And then authority starts to flow downhill, like in a democracy where its property owners are ruling, or an aristocracy, a small group, or a monarchy. And ultimately, a constitutional monarchy is something you find in the Bible, which is fascinating. And there are a lot of Christians who are revisionist, historical revisionist, and they say God was against a monarchy. Have you ever heard that? We've heard that here at Bob and Your Live. We're going to talk about that a bit next week and how God said we'd have a monarchy, but we'll get back to that. God bless you.